I think we've settled comfortably on a Monday morning episode drop, which is kind of cool. We're still working on banking up a bunch of these episodes. This week, we have one of my best friends in the world, Anthony Jessa, who lives out on, well, now he's in New Jersey, but from Long Island, lived in New Hampshire for a little bit.
The Jersey Shore.
The Jersey, he's right there.
That's so gross.
This is the first year in a few years, probably 10 years, that Anthony and I have not been able to see each other. Usually, even when I moved out to the Pacific Northwest, we'd still somehow run into each other on at least a yearly basis. I've gone out on tour with a few of his bands just to hang out and kind of exist and annoy everyone else that he's in a band with, because they're always like, who's this fucking dweeb that you're just letting tag along and come in the van with us? I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Chris. that's this week. What have you been up to, JT?
I mean, not a lot, just like living life, just working out, trying to make videos for recipes and stuff like that. I made an entire one today and it was going to be epic, but I don't know if I can edit it now. So
is it the 3-part one?
Yeah.
Don't even tell me what you're making. I'll wait.
I'm over here flipping tables, but I'll probably just refilm it tomorrow afternoon. It's obviously way too late to film it now. But I think I just have to be creative with it, because I'm not going to remake all those things. I'll think of something. I'm sure of it.
Figure it out. Yeah. Technology is not my best friend, and definitely.
I might just like explain my way through how I made it and what tools I use, and be
honestly,
like, sorry.
Would remaking it completely be the worst thing in the world?
No. Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst, actually, because I have all the ingredients. It's like, it's not like a hassle. It's actually quite easy, but it's just like, has to be organized.
But if it's a 3-piece thing or a 3-part thing, I'm sure that it's not.
It's just like a little bit more annoying. It wasn't actually that time consuming, which is so obnoxious, because I was like, great, this is actually, I thought it was going to be so much more time consuming, but I organized it well enough for myself that it like made it quick and easy. But then, I was like, okay, I'm going to put this outside, I'm going to work out, then we're going to do the podcast, and then I'm going to edit. And then I, like, opened it before I got on the podcast with you, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Just when you thought that technology couldn't get any worse after all the computer stuff.
Oh my God, like, seriously. Whatever, I guess. F me. F me for hoping.
So that's about it. Let's just jump right into it. I got nothing new to report. I've been woodworking. I decided to repaint a snare drum.
I saw that purple.
So I have this snare drum.
Yeah.
And it's like not a high end snare drum, but it's definitely by no means like a low end, like low grade snare drum. It's like right in the middle. So it sounds great. It just doesn't look nice. So, and I'd always wanted to try doing something like repainting it, or a snare drum or something like that. And I was just looking up the ways to do it and what you need. And I realized that all the materials cost like $40.
That's what it's
like. I was like, there's no reason not to try it. So it's coming. I did a first coat last night.
Yeah.
And actually, when we wrap up with this, I'm going to go down and do the second coat. And I'm waiting for some polyurethane.
I was going to say, are you going to gloss it?
Yeah. I got to gloss it.
Yeah.
And I put some paint tape on it too, to get, so it's going to have the paint, but then it's going to have like a nice wood exposed strip on it too. So I'm hoping that it comes out pretty sick.
A weird tip for that though, which I didn't learn until like it was way too late. And I still like, it still haunts me because there's still tape stuck in my corner until I fix it, is you have to peel that fucking tape off when it's still wet.
Oh.
So you might be saved after you do the second coat. I would wait for like a little bit and then peel it, because it'll like hopefully it'll come off. Like, but that was my mistake.
What kind of tape did you use?
The paint stuff, the green stuff.
Okay.
I wasn't being no fool. I was also doing my paint job with Rick, who's anal as hell.
That's
so
true.
The only reason he was already gone before that part was done is because it was just like, okay, I'll just do this. And he's
all
like,
you have to
just
do is
take the tape off. And I was just like, I'll take it off.
Well, I
later.
Also went into this too. Like, worst case, if that happens, I'll just re-sand it again and start over.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's not, I went into this project being like, absolute worst case is that I make the snare drum unusable.
Yeah.
In which case I'll use.
I mean, don't you have like a million now?
I'll use one of the other three that I have.
I mean, when are you getting the other one?
I haven't heard back from, I haven't put the deposit down yet. So the last I emailed was last week and the dude was like, yeah, that sounds great. And like, I responded like, yeah, I'd like to start work on this immediately. And he just never responded. But he did also take almost 3 weeks to start to respond to my initial email. Mm. So I'm assuming that because it's just a one person thing, he's just super busy.
That's fair.
But I'm still down to jumps. I'm going ahead with it. It's going to be hands down.
My next thing I think it's going to be like my first treat. I'm going to get a new guitar when I get a job in like 5 months from now.
Best case, 5 months.
I mean, I'm saying 5 months because I have some training to do online first, but like, and then I'll have a job almost instantly because of the specific program that I'm taking. But
also numbers are going down. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, let's jump right into it. Here's our conversation with Anthony Jessa of the
Followed
band.
Followed up by
Gatherers.
What song?
I haven't picked one yet. At the end of this, we'll hear some Shot Heard Around the World. And that is a band that Anthony and I used to play in. We actually, so the song that we played on the first ever podcast was a song that Anthony and I demoed for that band.
Okay.
And then they recorded a record in 2012 that I was not a part of.
Okay.
The demo that we played on the first episode was meant for this record.
Yeah.
It's a very convoluted, confusing.
I was like, that's very, like, yep, okay, sounds American.
All right, well, here's the episode. And everybody gets a little piece of the pie. Yeah, everybody gets a little piece of the pie. I'll join speaking my mind. And playing records late at night. And everybody gets a little piece of the pie. Yeah, I feel like Florida is not a place that anybody wants to be.
Hate to interrupt the super American conversation happening here.
I mentioned Toronto.
I mean, Toronto's dirt city. But I'm JT, if you'd care to know. I am one half of this podcast.
JT, Anthony. Anthony, JT.
Hi.
Hello. I am Canadian.
JT's up in Vancouver. We literally cannot even see each other. The border's been closed for... Actually, this week is the last week that you and I hung out, a year ago.
It was probably just before this because I went to Mexico. I was in Mexico currently right now.
Because I went up to go see Dave Haas at that venue, that tiny little venue, Lana Luz, that we played.
Was it before or after Mexico? Because I feel like at the end of this month, I think it was like the 17th. Yeah, because it was like the 17th when we actually got locked down in Vancouver.
I know Tessa sent me a text recently being like, it's been 1 year since we hung out. And that was the last time that I was up there.
Crazy.
Anyway, welcome
to the Loved Ones live stream.
Excuse me? What?
The Loved Ones live stream that they just put out?
I did. I watched it Saturday night.
I have no idea who that is.
This band, Dave Haas's old band, The Loved Ones, they put out this record like 15 years ago. And in 2016, I was living in Boston, and they did like a handful of reunion shows. So I went to the Boston, New York City, and Philadelphia shows, and they filmed the Philadelphia show because that's like their hometown show, and it was like the biggest headliner that they had ever done to date. And they did it; they released it as a live stream over the weekend. So it was cool to just kind of watch that, and I could see my little stupid winter hat in most of the.
I did see that Dave Haas was saying that he was going to post something, but like it didn't really say what.
Yeah.
It was actually going to.
I mean, it was a good call for them to record that because I mean, he's not making any money. No, and nobody in the music industry is making any money.
No, I got an email today from the Federation of Musicians being like, "You owe us some dues," and I was like. Honey, I was like, I didn't even use my last visa. So if you want to credit me that,
Side
I'll
note,
absolutely
you should,
give you some money.
Side note, you should check with your government and be like, hey, I applied for this visa in October 2019, and I only got to use it once. What's up with that?
Can I? Well, it's actually through your guys' border because you guys are a very, very generous country.
The only thing we give away is COVID. That's the only.
It's fair.
Yeah, that's the only thing we're generous with.
That sounds right.
All right. Anyway, Anthony, welcome to the podcast. All right, let's just jump right into it. Tell me your history in the DIY music scene and how you kind of got involved with playing in bands and how we met. I think this is all kind of related.
First, like, venture into DIYs in a pop punk band.
Good old out on Long Island. Not in Long Island. When Anthony and I first met, I used to say all the time, because we spent a lot of time traveling between his house on Long Island and back in Boston, New Hampshire. And I used to be like, are we going into Long Island? And he would give me this death glare. Like, he wanted to kill me. He's like, that's not English. That's not how words work.
I mean, yeah, but that's such an American response, I have to say. Oh my God. The level of rage, it's like
COVID and rage.
Bring it down. Bring it down, because we have an island next to Vancouver, it's Vancouver Island, but there's a bunch of different cities there. So I mean, people say in or on because we're just sweet and we're just like whatever, but nobody's each other. So I don't blame you, Chris. You get passed from me. I'll apologize to you for Anthony. Long Island is like right next to you, New York, no?
Yeah, it is New York.
It is.
I only know about it from Law and Order.
Terrible place. So from that, we had a mutual friend and he convinced me to join Chris's band.
Hold on, time out.
A ton of money.
Time out. I would love to get into all this, but from here on out, even though we only have a total of maybe 20 weekly listeners, nobody's ever going to hear this. Let's refer to this person as just RD. Let's not use any names, because I feel like this is not going to be the first time that this person's mentioned, and I feel like it's not going to be the nicest thing that we say about him. Anyway, so RD invites you to play in this band that I'm playing drums in.
Correct. So I said, I don't care about money. I'll take a bus from Long Island to Boston.
Didn't you go to the ferry in
this is the first time meeting anyone, and like I was just kind of jumping in. There was like
can I just add some context here real quick? This is 10 years ago. I had joined my friend Lauren's brother's post-hardcore band, and it was just a sloppy mess. And so this person that we had singing in the band invited Anthony to come and join the band from Long Island. So sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
So I said, I don't care about money. So I'll take the ferry carrying all of my gear, which was the dumbest thing to take on a ferry. So amp, guitar, pedal board, everything on this ferry. People looked at me like,
Like a walk-on ferry?
Yeah.
So there's a ferry so you don't have to drive around Long Island through New York City and then come back through Connecticut. There's a ferry that goes from Long Island to Connecticut, and it shaves, like, with traffic, probably 2 hours, if not more, off of that drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took the ferry ride, and the only contact I had with the band was RD. And he was like, yeah, I'll pick you up. It'll be cool. And I was like, sure, because it's like 3 hours from you. And he was like, yeah, totally. So I get off the ferry and I'm there and no one else is there. It's a desert, like it's deserted.
I believe it was New London, Connecticut, which is like the slummiest part of Connecticut.
So you're standing there with like a half stack and a guitar?
And a pedal board.
Don't forget the pedal board.
That sounds awful.
So I call him a bunch of times. No one's answering.
Assuming he's driving to come and get you and just running a little late.
The only interaction I've had with Chris was him poking me on Facebook.
That's true.
And I talked to the other guitarist who was kind of running things.
The only sensible, reasonable adult at this point in time.
It's not you, ever, so.
It was not us. Not me. Certainly not me.
So I'm texting. He's like, I'm at a wedding. I thought RD was going to pick you up. And I was like, me too. Nice to meet you. I'm sitting there for like an hour and a half. And then I finally get a hold of this kid. And he's like, hey, I overslept. I'm just leaving my house now. I'm like,
oh my God.
It's a 3-hour drive.
So finally he gets me. And we go to his house for a minute, which seemed like hours. It was a
year.
It was a 13-year-old's bedroom. Like just full like
I was 22 and I think this person, he's literally easily 10 years older than me. So he was in his early 30s at this point.
And his place was basically a hoarder's mansion.
It was a video game personified.
Yes. So he picks me up, asks me for gas money. I'm like, this is good.
This like reminds me of so many dudes I've played in bands with, and it just gives me the creeps.
I'm sure this person has given this person the creeps before as well.
So we drive, and then I was supposed to practice with the band for the first time. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, he's supposedly opening up a venue. That's
a whole other story. Yeah. We could do a whole podcast series on this venue itself, but.
We get there, we're ready to practice. I meet everyone. Everyone's nice. It was super short commute from Long Island. And then we're told we can't practice because the businesses around us don't want to hear noise.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
This was
off to a good start. Yeah. We're playing a show the next day. I've never played with this band, which is fine. We start playing at like midnight. This town is awful. The place we're playing is awful.
So the person that Anthony's talking about is essentially just like a schemester. Like Oh yeah. And so he was like in this band. My first ever interaction with him, I went on tour with this band before I started playing with them. I was just tagging along just for shits and giggles. And this is the first time I'd ever interacted with this person. It was the first night we were leaving. We're at a Burger King, and he just goes, oh man, I forgot all my money at home. Do you want to like buy me Burger King? And no. So it's like
giving me flashbacks to this one person that I was in a band with for so long who never paid rent and was always going to pay rent. And then he would always be buying him cigarettes and I didn't even smoke. And I'd be like buying him beer and I didn't even drink beer at the time. And it was like this fucking full on nightmare, but he was the best con artist because I'm a gay person. And this guy is like getting money out of me.
So he's sociopathic people. I'm not claiming that this person has that because I'm obviously not a doctor. But they're really good at manipulating people. Mm-hmm. And I was this 21-year-old, 22-year-old dummy who was going through a sloppy time. And I was like, this person is a good-hearted person. He's just like he doesn't have it all together. I'm going to help him out. He was making a list on his phone of all the meals people were buying him. Because he's like, as soon as we get home, I'm going to pay you back.
No, he's not, ever.
Yeah, well, that also ties into this story, and I'll wrap it up as quick as possible. So we're rehearsing at this like place, And
in the middle of New Hampshire, small-ass town.
And it's where nightmares are made. So we're there, we're practicing, everyone's gonna go home. And I'm like, cool, Richie, where am I sleeping? And he gives me a blanket and says, oh, you can sleep on the stage. Now he promised me like, this venue has like a place to stay. And I'm like, all right, I guess. Like, this is insane.
This person lived right on the Massachusetts-New Hampshire border. And this venue was a good 2 hours north in the White Mountains, just kind of off the beaten path, kind of on the avoidable path, if you will.
So super far away.
Nice.
Really convenient to get to, especially when you don't drive there and now you're just stuck. He also didn't own a car and the person's car that we were using left. So I was just stuck there.
This place does not have a Greyhound bus. There's not an Amtrak. There's not an international airport.
Yes. So we play the show and I'm like, sure, I'll join this band. This will be fun, I guess.
You're more optimistic than I am. I would have freaked out at this point.
Well, you have to understand too, like this person is just like shoveling the promises.
Yeah. Oh, I know that game 100%.
It's being 21 and not doing my due diligence.
It's like, all right, oh, okay, I know I was promised a bed and a place to stay, but I mean, I guess this is the situation we're in. It'll get better from here.
So I go, like, I decide to, like, go on this tour, and instead of going home, I stay at this kid's house.
Oh, I was hoping so hard you were going to tell this story.
The lights shut off. I'm like, that's weird. We had
lights a second ago.
and then, like, maybe a few hours after that, there's a call telling him he's being evicted if he doesn't pay a bunch of money. And also, his lights are off. And then his cell phone gets shut off all within 24 hours. And he's like, hey, do you mind if I just borrow a few dollars? I'll pay you back. Like, we're going on for money, pay your rent and your phone bill. That sounds good. And then he also posted like on social media that he needed these things. So people were just piling in donations for this kid. So he's money on this. And my worst show was that first tour.
Oh my God. That sounds like that show that you guys have in America. It's like, it's a cops, but for addictions. What's it called?
My Show of Addiction.
No, it's the one where they're always addicted to like some sort of alcohol or drug, but they're always carrying around like the alcoholics are like carrying around like those big old like fucking 2 liters of vodka and stuff in their backpacks every day, but they con somebody every single day into getting them this. And they're like, oh, I'll give it back to you. I'm going to get sober. That sounds like the same kind of person that you were dealing with, like,
except he didn't drink or do drugs.
He just
had sticky fingers. So yeah, that whole tour was a train wreck.
How long between that point and us leaving on tour? There was like at least a month gap in between.
Maybe.
Okay. All right.
It was the longest stretch of my life ever.
Because you drove down to Revere for a few times, like a couple of times too.
Yeah, we got drunk on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like half the places you guys are saying, like New Hampshire's or whatever, and like the White Mountains, is like these are made up things for sure. I've never heard of those.
Fucking Kamloops, BC is a made up place.
No, New Hampshire's and the White Mountains? I don't think so. Just making shit up, yeah.
Can you tell me your favorite? So that tour that we did, honestly, like that September, October, whatever time of year that was, 2011.
August through September, it was super warm.
We went on a month, so JT, we went on a month long tour.
After all of this bad stuff happened, you were like, sure, okay.
Well, that was the reason that Anthony joined the band, was because we were leaving on a month-long tour.
And I didn't want to bail on them because they, like, Chris, Brian, and Ken at the time, like, they didn't do anything to me. I wasn't just going to kind of, like, you know, screw them over because there's no one else they were convinced in 2 weeks to go on a tour.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I committed to this. I'll do it.
I don't know if you remember or not. Ken bailed on that tour. We had a fill-in bassist and a brand new guitarist.
Oh my God. That is really good.
So yeah, that was a tour.
He was over that other person's shit. He was like, I don't think so.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So if you were to pick one story from that tour, what do you think is the most memorable?
Gainesville.
I don't even think that venue exists anymore. So I'm fairly
Florida is, I've heard Florida's the place to be for coronavirus.
Gainesville's, oh yeah, for the coronavirus, yes.
We were on this tour and like we joined up with another band. His name was Iron.
His name was Iron. Yeah. They were cool people. They were based out of Jacksonville, Florida, and we stayed with Sean, the drummer, at least three nights on that tour.
Yeah, and we met O Brother that night too.
Yes, I know. O Brother, we met in Georgia. Yeah. It was the night before we drove down to. Yeah. So his name was Iron Tat. They were supposed to do the southeastern portion of the tour. So they were going to do the Florida shows and I think the Savannah, Georgia show. We played somewhere in Georgia that wasn't Atlanta.
It was pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I think it was Savannah, but yeah, I could be wrong.
That was also a show where a kid stole a T-shirt from us
and wore it and just like didn't think it was a big deal. But So we're doing this portion with this band from Jacksonville. The Jacksonville show that we played was actually pretty cool. That was fun. And then we went down and we played what's the venue that's in Nashville, but they have like a sub-city in, I think it was Lake City, Florida. Is it like Rocket Town or something?
Yes. They paid us in gum in that.
So we roll into the venue. They didn't promote the show. They had, I don't even know if locals played.
I have no idea, but yeah, they didn't the show
because we were doing it with a second band. Brian, who was booking the majority of the tour, tried to make sure that there was at least like a set guaranteed amount of money to go towards gas,
and that got lost in translation at the show when we were handed a case of Sean White gum, the snowboarder. He had his own gum.
I was gonna say I'd never even heard of this gum brand at all, or this snowboarder.
And
we get paid in this gum, and then we get put up in like this super Christian hotel. And
it used to be a hospital.
There was like scripture written on the walls. It belonged to like a mega church. It was like attached to it.
Oh my God.
So the first thing Chris does is get you front flips on beds.
And then there's nobody else in this hotel. I think we were the only people staying there, and it was huge. Yeah, it legitimately used to be a hospital, and there's no one else.
Video of us narrating it on like YouTube somewhere.
Brian took a lot of that stuff down.
Oh.
And there's a lot of secret footage that exists that I know for a fact that he still has that I don't think I will even ever see or will ever see the light of day ever again. Nothing bad or terrible, just us. I don't even think we were drinking that night. I just didn't like the fact that I was staying at a fucking Christian hotel.
Yeah, God definitely tucked us in that night.
God tucked us in, and God gave us gum and tuck.
Sounds terrible.
So we make our way to good old Gainesville.
Gainesville, Florida. Going into this is the second show that we're playing with this band. And they're already bummed out because they're older than us. They have like real jobs and like rent and all this other stuff that like adults do. And they went into this thinking like, all right, we'll at least have some fun and we won't have to put our own money in for gas. And they're like, they just drove all the way down to middle of Florida from Jacksonville and have to go to Gainesville and have made $0. So they're really not. And they're just... they're chewing their gum as angry as possible, and they're just like, this gum should be money.
Yeah.
They're not stoked. So,
yeah, we get to Gainesville, we go to the venue, and there's no one, the venue's locked. Finally, someone shows up, and we're like, you know.
He's like 80 years old. Like, he's fucking Aerosmith's dad.
And he's like, yeah, I guess no one showed up to the show. That one band played Warped Tour, so there should be a line of kids around the building. And like,
oh, they played
one like show on Warped Tour, like in their hometown.
This is like classic. God.
Like the one classic, that you win.
Yeah, that's exactly
classic.
It.
This just was like classic out of touch promoter. Like has no idea what's going on, and just like said, there was no locals on the show. Just thought that the fact that this band had played Warped Tour would be enough to draw people. So
like
the
not
show,
even close.
No, so this show is essentially two out of state bands or out of town bands. So we decided that the show just like wouldn't. There was no reason for us to play a show. So we never loaded in our gear. We never did anything.
Brutal.
They gave us pitchers. They gave Chris and I pitchers of beer.
Well, they gave both bands a pitcher of beer each to kind of. Oh no, we told they never came. We talked to them and we're like, don't even come. Don't come to this venue. Go the fuck home. So they gave us two pitchers of beer as like a, sorry, we're not having a show. Here's some beer. And we're bummed because this tour in general has been terrible. The show last night was terrible. We're all fucking just going broke. Richie is, RD is being like... Do you remember him driving 40 miles an hour because we were excited to get to Richmond, Virginia?
Yes.
So he just slowed down? He was like, screw you then.
This is fast. Get better gas mileage if we don't go more than 40 miles an hour, which is not how that works.
No.
When it's a van pulling a trailer and it's already like something that isn't aerodynamic.
So everyone was at this point. Everyone was starting to catch up on RD's sort of manipulative bullshit, and no one was really happy that he was there, myself included, 100%. So we're on our way to Richmond, Virginia. We still haven't finished telling you the Gainesville story yet, but we're on our way to Richmond, Virginia. And I was like, "Hey, there's this like," and you probably know this, JT. I was like, "There's this really cool railroad bridge. Let's go hang out on it."
Yeah.
And Anthony was like, oh, that sounds sick. It's right near the venue. We have time. It's sunny out. We're finally in a good mood after 3 weeks. Like, let's go do this. And as soon as everyone got excited about it, Richie was like, I'm driving 40 miles. Like, he wanted to slow us down and not get us there in time.
Well, no, we asked him why we were still hours away. And Brian looked and saw that he was only going 40 miles an hour.
On the freeway.
So were people just like really pissed off behind you? Like,
we weren't really paid. I mean, the vehicle that we were touring in at this point was like an Astro van. So the driver was driving, and then it was a pretty much like a small RV in the back where you could have like a bed to take a nap in. You could recline you could just kind of totally check out and just like have your alone time. So I don't think anyone else was really paying attention to what was going on.
Mm.
Until a 3-hour drive was 5 hours in.
Oh my God.
But anyway, so let's wrap up the Gainesville story, I guess. So we were all pretty pissed that the show wasn't happening. Not just because the show wasn't happening, just in general, because everything was awful. Was this before or after I legitimately lashed out at Richie?
So you lashed out at him in a mall. I remember that. You and I also got kicked out of a mall, Starbucks, in that mall.
Oh yeah, because I was working at Starbucks at this time. Was I trying to score free drinks?
No, you were. So we would do this thing where we'd go to Starbucks and then we'd get two shots of espresso.
We were doing
and then come back and ask for soy milk, so we get essentially
a soy latte for a quarter of the price.
Yeah,
nice.
isn't
happening. And then Chris lashed out, and I remember distinctly saying, it's the only reason I know this term is, I'm a partner. I don't know how you could do this.
Yeah.
And we
I mean, I'm all about ripping off giant corporations. I don't care. There was also the time that I got that free Subway sandwich and then I pooped.
Oh yeah, you called Subway in Richmond.
Yeah, no, this was the Atlanta or the show where I broke my floor tom. So this is before Richmond.
Okay, so back to Gainesville, drinking the pitchers out of the pitcher.
So Anthony and I were like the only two that were really drinking in the band. And we weren't even, this wasn't even like a drink every night kind of band either. Somehow, I don't know how.
I'm going to say with you.
So we, Anthony and I drink a pitcher of beer each. And I'm getting a little saucy. And I'm upset. I'm not having a good time. I wish that I was home. If I had money back then, I legitimately probably would have gotten on an airplane and flew home at this point. That's how bad things were.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's pretty bad. And so I decided that I was going to take out my anger and frustration on the venue. And I decided to pee all over the stage.
Oh my God.
And I didn't tell anyone. I think you just looked over and you just saw me peeing. Is that the night that I stole? Is that the night that I stole the Four Locos from the gas station? So after drinking a pitcher of beer, I'm like, all right, I'm in the game now.
You guys make America sound like you can just do crime and like hate on people like freely.
You can definitely do crime. I don't know about hating on people, but crime is definitely welcome in this country. Crime is
definitely like.
Like if somebody was just like, hey, I'm going to, like, they're just peeing all over a bar anywhere, even if it was a dirty, dirty bar in Vancouver, you'd be like banned for life. And they'd put your picture on the internet and be like, don't ever do this or be this person. And do you know who this is? And everyone would tell on you.
If COVID-19 wasn't our biggest export, crime would definitely be number one. but anyway, I'm going to wrap this up real quick because we have
lots of crime in Canada too. But
so the remainder of the night being in the game, we went to a gas station to fill up because we were driving back to Jacksonville, which is only about an hour from Gainesville. And while we were filling up gas, I stole like four Locos from a gas station, got in the van, handed two of them to Anthony, and we were... And fast forward 40 minutes, Anthony's on the side of the highway throwing up everywhere.
Oh my God, you slammed them?
I still maintain that it was the patent pending playing and not the Four Locos.
I was playing some really bad pop punk band from Long Island.
Makes sense.
So Anthony at this point was not like I was not like a big drinker and neither, definitely Anthony was not. So we were not like drinking like this at all. This is just like a one, we're sick of being here, we're giving up, we're just letting loose and doing whatever we want kind of.
Oh my God.
Oh, and then we get back to Sean from his name was Irons House, the drummer of the band, and the first thing he says is please don't let the dog out, and Richie immediately opens the door and the dog just goes running. Yeah, do you remember?
Oh my God.
So, yes, that was my first, like, intro to, like, the DIY scene.
Chris, a terrible one.
Been on tour with me for every band I've been in.
Oh yeah, I have. You're right.
From there, I played in a band from Long Island called Ornaments.
Band well, if, even the band you did before that, the one, the Lowell one.
Oh, Past Lives.
Yeah, I don't think you all toured, but Wolves at Bay played a show with you guys.
Yeah.
You played that cool basement in Lowell, Mass.
And then from there, I joined the band that I'm currently in, that I've been in for 5 years now, Gatherers. And I was also guitar tech for a band called the Dillinger Escape Plan.
You're pretty much a member of the World Is now, too. I don't know if that is public knowledge.
Yeah, I manage The World Is, and I'll be like filling in on guitar and stuff like that. probably if there's ever shows again.
Right.
and from that, like, because of that awful tour, And that shitty kid, I found like, at least like a positive trajectory in music where I haven't had to have a job where I've been able to just kind of like exist in the DIY scene, helping bands and like guitar teching for bands and just being on vacation for the last 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
And so it is because of Brian Littrell that like I did take music seriously. So that was like a super positive thing because I continued with that bit, like the band that you and I are in for like 4 years or so.
Oh, yeah, I quit that band that December. And I think Anthony stayed
on your head in the middle of a show and leave.
Which was really funny though, because I continued to also join them on tour and go to every show after I quit.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's some weird revenge.
I took a break from playing music at all in 2012.
That's fair. I've done that.
Yeah. And that's when you went on tour with Ornaments, and then you also went on tour with Gatherers and Bethany.
Yeah. That was a fun little weekend.
That was a fun little weekend. We played.
All right. Well, thank you for doing this. I'm going to wrap it up because we're running out of time. This is so the last thing I want to ask you, and don't think about copyrights because nobody listens to this, but what is a song that you would like to play at the end? It could either be a song, a Shatdub song, a Gatherer song, a song that's just you've been listening to.
I don't know.
I'm going to throw a Shatdub song on that you played in. One off that EP that I really like.
That was a full length.
I'm going to throw a Shatdub song off that full length that I really like.
Yeah, that's fine. Or Gatherer song. I don't care.
Okay. Anything you want to promote? Do you know when that record's coming out? Have you decided on a date yet?
The Gatherer's record.
Probably not a good idea to rush it.
No, I mean, I manage the band, so who's going to tell me I'm wrong? that record hopefully will come out in the fall. We finished recording it a year ago, and we have like all these European tours and festivals, and they're obviously canceled, but they're rescheduled for the end of
2021, 2022.
Happens, and either way, this thing has to get released because, you know, we're all in our 30s, and if we can't tour,
it's not going to get any easier. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super proud of this record, and I'd like to see like
the handful of songs that you sent me, I really like.
And our label wants us to release it because they invested a bunch of money in us, and we've given them literally nothing because we're like, we're not touring, so you're not getting a record.
All right. Well, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is our yearly hang. This is our 2021 hang.
Nice.
I wish that we could be at the levee, but this is about as good as we can get.
Yeah, maybe 2022.
Who knows?
Oh my God, I don't even know if my border is going to open up to come to America at any point, or like vice versa.
The border got pushed back to March 21st. I don't know if you saw.
I heard that. Yeah.
All right. But
good news: the UK is fully open again.
I I've unfollowed almost every person in the UK. It's terrible. It's like Florida. It's like California, really.
All right. Well, all right. Here's thank you guys for having me. Heard around the world. Yeah. I'm logging off.
Okay.
The two of you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Your exist in all your soul. choices.